We're switching gears now, and we're going to look at what's going on in Syria. Any moment now, and people say as early as tomorrow morning, there could be a missile strike on Syria. It's caused a lot of controversy. Most of the polls that have come out in America have said Americans are opposed to it in huge numbers. Most Europeans are opposed to it. Clearly, most of the Arab world is opposed to it. There are a lot of questions here about the sarin gas that was used, and we'll talk about that during the course of this half an hour. They're saying Assad did it, but did he do it? Are there other forces at work here? What should be our response? We are joined here once again by Dr. Adil Shamu, Associate Fellow fellow at the Institute of Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., Senior Analyst with Foreign Policy and Focus, author of Equal Worth, When Humanity Will Have Peace. Dr. Ali Zagheb, a Palestinian-born businessman, political observer, who was a professor at Birzeit University before he was shown the back door out, has made a successful life despite that. And Sabith Khan, Executive Director of Manasseh, a think tank and policy shop focused on youth issues in the MENA and South Asian regions, currently pursuing a PhD at Virginia Tech in planning, governance, and globalization. I don't know if all of our phones are working just yet, but if they are, everybody's here, great. So, gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having you, Mark.
So let's go around the room here, and let me start, Ali, if I might start with you. You just came back from Palestine.
Correct. I was in Palestine, Israel, and Jordan.
And you were in the midst, at least, of the conversation taking place in the Arab world on the ground and all this taking place. So, hey, talk about that, especially in terms of what's going on in Syria now and what conversation is taking place and what your thoughts are.
You know, my thoughts, Mark, are I am absolutely positively against starting another war in Syria. You know, the history, you know, even the recent history with the Iraq war, Colin Powell, when he was Secretary of State, and I have a lot of respect for the gentleman, goes in front of the United Nations and shows the world falsified information about Iraq. The same with Syria. Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, today said, we need to give this more time. People in the Middle East, in Palestine, in Syria, in Jordan, in Israel, everybody, I don't want to say everybody, but most people are saying, why do we need another war? Most intelligent people say, why do we need another war when we are not finished with the wars that were started, you know, 10 years ago? The consensus is wait and see who did the atrocious things, who did the chemical and the sulfur burning of innocent civilians, and then decide. That is what the intelligent people in the Middle East are saying, and I hope that people will listen also here and in Europe.
Sabith Khan, your take on what is happening in Syria and what should be the response?
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
A pleasure.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sabith, yes. Go ahead.
Sure. Mark, quickly, I agree with Ali to a certain extent, and I believe there's a difference, qualitative and quantitative difference between Iraq and Syria. I think these are very different situations, and I'm not a war hawk, I mean, just to be clear. I see myself as a liberal, and in that sense, despite that, I believe this case calls for a shift in the present paradigm where, I don't need to state the obvious, there is a huge imbalance in terms of what's going on. And I think U.S. intervention to a limited extent would shift the balance and perhaps force Assad to rethink his position. And perhaps if that leads to a transition, I think that would be the goal accomplished. Though that hasn't been the stated purpose, I believe a certain limited intervention on behalf of the U.S. with regional buy-in, Arab League has not come on board yet, but I believe with the U.K. taking the resolution to the Security Council, I hope things will change.
So what do you think the response should be?
From the American side?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think U.S. should intervene. I think there should be limited military strikes. Perhaps, I don't know if there should be no-fly zones, but if called for, I think there should be military intervention to a limited extent with the stated objective of, shifting this power balance and transitioning perhaps to a different government.
Adil Shamu.
Well, I think this is an event, the intervention, if it comes to be true, which all likelihood it will, it's related to the global situation rather than just really we are going to intervene in Syria. When the U.S. interest, as perceived by the government in power, as the administration of the time, perceived their interest is good for them to go and intervene in Iraq or good to go and intervene in Syria, they find really a reason to do it. Because our interest, what are our interests? Our interest is to give a strong message against Russia that we will protect our interest in Middle East and butt out of it. A smaller message to China that you should know Middle East is our territory. You go elsewhere. But the biggest message is really left to Iran, that Iran is going to be withered away from its influence in Middle East. And what we are doing, we are now going to punish one of your clients, Syria, which is the most important trading client for Iran. So they want to make sure that Iran's influence is brought to size. And why we're doing that is our military intervention will serve to assert our strategic interest. Oil issues, again, this is the world's 70% of oil reserves in Middle East. And to help our friends in Middle East, like Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Israel. So, unfortunately, we are not, we haven't said, what do we expect next? They say it's not regime change.
Well, let's talk about two things here. We'll pick up regime change in a minute, but let me throw out something first. I want to talk about what's going on in Syria and if there even is an American response. We'll talk about that, but let me come back to that second. First, this breaking news you just sent over? That the Syrian Electronic Army, whoever they are, just hacked the New York Times website and hacked 9 websites, including New York Times, Twitter, and Twitter's image service, TWIMG. Some visitors to the affected sites were redirected to hacker-controlled service that attempted to launch drive-by malware attacks. So that you all should be aware of that, what's going on right now. But anyway, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about this chemical attack. But and there's no question that it took place. Doctors and Borders are very without Borders, very clear that these are the people they've treated were victims of a chemical attack. But do we know who did it? Do we really know? People are saying Assad did it. They're saying they didn't do it. Could it not be people who have stolen stockpiles? Could be with al-Qaeda? Could be any other group that have done this to foment an attack to weaken Assad's regime? Not that Assad is a stellar guy. Nobody's backing Assad.
No.
But I'm saying we don't really know who did this.
Well, it shows when our interest comes into focus. And that Jay Carney, after 4 days of the last use of the chemical weapon, said it's too late to go and investigate. Whereas the UN inspection team, which we voted for them to go and inspect, was 4 months later. 4 days was too late, and the inspector team was already on grounds in Syria to shorten the time, basically, and they did go there. So I am not sure who did it. I am not sure really it happened, to be very honest, even though, because it's symptoms. The UN inspectors usually take samples of clothes, earth, ground, and from buildings. And organophosphates, since I'm a scientist, I know a little bit about neurotoxins. Organophosphates remains in the debris for months to come. And we are not waiting. The same thing we did in invasion of Iraq. We did not want to wait for the inspector's report.
So let me turn to Asabeth and Ali for a minute here.
Can I say something, please?
Is this Ali?
Yes,
Ali, yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Ali, go ahead.
You know, it's really a very unenviable position to be put in to try and defend Bashar al-Assad, okay? That is something I would never do. In fact, I think I was on this show almost a year ago, and I have no liking whatsoever to this dictator or even his father. Having said that, we do not have any proof that he did this chemical warfare. And Alessandra Vellucci, the United Nations spokeswoman in Geneva yesterday, said, we need 14 days to find out exactly what happened and who did it. The United Nations Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, says, we need more time to sift through the facts and come to a resolution or to a firm statement who did what. Why the rush all of a sudden to start? 100,000 Syrians have been killed in this, and now we want to start war from the sea, from wherever it is, and kill more Syrians? It is not like this will be a surgical strike against Bashar al-Assad and his prime minister, Mr. Waleed al-Muallim, who was, by the way, at one point the ambassador in the United States, or his ministers. This will hurt more Syrians. This will spill more Syrians from their homes and cause more damage. I do believe it is essential for us to wait, and the Europeans are clamoring to have a war. They always do that, but when the U.S. gets in, they do not want to send any foot soldiers. Look at Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. It's the American boys and girls who end up going there fighting and getting killed while the Europeans are pontificating. And so, that's exactly what is happening now.
Sabith, your thoughts about this? I mean, can you say that we do know that Assad did this? I think it's an assumption at this moment.
That's true, Mark. I agree with both the speakers, but I think there's a difference again. I think the chemical attacks, chemical use of chemical weapons itself, in my mind, is irrelevant in the sense that the sheer proportion of people killed. I think, as I wrote about 6 months ago in an op-ed, the case for intervention was stronger 6 months ago than it is today. And I think this is more of an occasion for decision. I think the red line, as President Obama has called, has just, it has pushed people to intervene rather than, you know, it hasn't triggered the response itself. So I think this instance itself is more of a catalyst rather than being the real cause of intervention, in my opinion.
Having, perhaps that's true, I mean, we can debate that, but does that mean that we should send cruise missiles flying today or tomorrow into Assad's military forces?
I mean, not immediately. As I said, I think people should, the U.S. should wait for the U.N. Security Council to come back. And perhaps I think if there is no, I mean, I don't think there will be a shift in either China or Russia's position. I think, yes, despite that, I believe there is a case for limited intervention. I do strongly believe that military targets are kosher. There should be targeted strikes against, of course, chemical facilities as well as even military targets. I think that will hopefully bring a shift in the thinking that's going on in the Assad regime.
Yeah, I opposed interference in Syria from the beginning. And the reason is there was clear indication for the very first 6 months that if the opposition wins, the Alawite will be slaughtered. There is two, three millions of them. The Christians will be slaughtered and the Kurds will be slaughtered. That's not insignificant percentage of the Syrian society. That's about 40-50% of the Syrian society. And the winners would have been Hezbollah and al-Qaeda. Currently, if there is a regime change, and that's one reason we are changing our mind about regime change, about Assad by the United States, is that Hezbollah and al-Qaeda will become the most two powerful forces in Syria. So we are really not thinking through what the consequence of this interference is. Even if there is zero reaction from these groups and Iran, I'm saying is we are handing over Syria to the Hezbollah and al-Qaeda. And that will be a disaster to our foreign policy in Middle East. It's poor choice, and I don't know who is pushing for it, but it's clearly there are forces pushing for intervention in Syria. Moreover, all our interventions never stops at the point of intervention, because what happened if Assad says, okay, fine, I'm still living, and I'm going to do exactly what I want. I mean, by action, not by words, he'll say that.
Right.
And what are we going to do? We're going to bomb him more. We're going to kill more innocent people. Then we are going to have no-fly zone. Then we're going to have boot on the ground. That's really what's going to happen. The Arab streets are going to be really toppling their existing government now, which some of them are allies with us. And this is one reason. Do you think that these corrupt government didn't come and say, yeah, go ahead and bomb Syria? Not because they love the opposition, because they or Assad, because they love their royal power to stay in power from their own streets.
And I think, Ali, in some ways, America right now is the American political structure is at a total loss about how to respond to all the upheavals going on in the Arab and Muslim world.
You know, I totally agree, and it really is not. I do not blame President Obama at all myself. In fact, I think he is doing a fabulous job, and I guess I'm the only one who is saying that now. by staying out of this, it is like a cesspool over there. There are so many problems, and like my colleague, Mr. Shamu, Dr. Shamu just said, we do not know who is going to have power in Syria if Assad is gone. And again, I'm going to preface that by saying I'm not defending Bashar al-Assad. But I do recall when we were in Afghanistan against the Russians, we dealt with bin Laden, if everybody should remember that. And the U.S. supported bin Laden and gave him arms and gave him money and all that. And look who the biggest snake in the history of the United States turned out to be, bin Laden. And right now, we have so many elements, fringe elements, extremist elements in Syria and in the Middle East. And these elements, believe me, they still carry the torch of bin Laden, and they would do damage to the United States and its allies any day they can. We have to be extremely careful whom we help, whom we do not help, and whom we give arms to.
I think it would increase the hatreds to us and terrorism against us. It's just we do not need it in this stage of our economic and political life in the United States. Our economy is teetering all the time, and this is going to cost us $1 billion probably a month.
More. What
at least.
And we also don't
Mark,
know.
If I may, Mark, sorry to interrupt, but
no, go ahead,
the question you should really be asking, I think, is what is the alternative? I mean, this has gone on for, what, close to 2 years or maybe more. So another 2 years of civil war?
I tell you what we could do. What we could do is...
Let him finish your thought. We have about 4 minutes left.
Sure.
So quick, finish your thought.
What we could do. We said we did nothing when there were 4 million refugees, 4.5 million Iraqi refugees. So let's not, you know, thump our chest. We gotta do something. We didn't do anything. We let the Iraqis suffer. And Syria can solve its own. We had 4 year civil war. The United States, Russia had. France had it.
No, the case I'm making primarily is a humanitarian one, and I hope I'm.
I support
here.
All humanitarian help.
We only have a few minutes. Sabath, finish your thought.
Sure. I mean, I think there's a very strong humanitarian case to be made. The UN has failed in its responsibility to protect. So has the Arab League. I think the regional powers have really failed. And I think the UN really needs to step up, and unfortunately that's not going to happen. So I think, in my opinion, the only chance for peace in this case is, unfortunately, through limited strikes. And I hope, and I really pray, I mean, of course, my sympathies are with the people and with the thoughts that both the speakers have shared, that we really need to think through the consequences, of course. But I think this sitting, letting the status quo continue is not going to get us any results. And I think, as I said earlier in the show, the only chance for peace would be some limited action and regional buy-in, and hopefully the UN steps up to the game.
But a question we might have also, what power does the UN really have? The UN has, it's going to be stymied because Russia is not going to allow any intervention on the part of the
and
United
China,
Nations.
And China, by the way, Russia and China.
Right.
They're going to say no,
I mean,
they're going to block it.
When I say UN intervention, I mean, assuming the U.S. goes ahead with a strike, I think the UN definitely does have a role to play in the post-conflict situation that emerges, hopefully, maybe a year, 2, 5 years, who knows how long this might take. But I think in a post-conflict situation, when things are a little more settled in, I think in terms of democratic transition to whatever regime there is, and one hopes that it's not an extremist regime, I think that's where the international bodies would step in and do the part that they have to. Of course, we don't have a model right now. I mean, Iraq is a terrible case. we all are aware of the cases that have gone wrong. But one can hope that
it doesn't go that way. We're just about out of time. So, Adil, you have a quick thought, but we really are out of time.
It's unfortunate. You see, the Syrian revolution started correctly, and I wrote several articles in its support. What happened is it got hijacked by extremists, by the billions of dollars Saudis and the Qataris and the Bahraini pumped into it. That's really the problem.
We're going to have to take a break here, but we're going to come back to Syria in the coming days, obviously, maybe come back tomorrow and Friday after we see what the response is and continue this, because I think it's a very complex situation that we need to know more about. Attacking Syria now could just blow back in our faces faster than we realize. I want to thank our guests, Dr. Adil Shamu, Dr. Ali Zaghab, and Sabeth Khan for joining us here during this half an hour. We're going to go out on this break listening to a Syrian protest song written by Ibrahim Kashush, who was killed by the Syrian government in 2011. So I'll leave you with that. We're going to come back with Will Haygood, who wrote The Butler. Stay with us.
يا بشار روحك تدور وتمك في حمامه دور وخطاك ما نمخ دور يلا ارحل يا بشار.